Welcome.
Welcome.
It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your host, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. My name is Jackie Hahn, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, we'll be talking to our very special guest, Angela Nicastro. Angela is a uniquely gifted healer, spiritual counselor, sought-after speaker, and visionary for personal and global transformation. Before we get started, I would like to introduce my co-host this evening. With us first is Steve Frampton. Welcome, Steve.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Extremely well. Thank you.
Sure. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Steve, for the listeners.
Well, absolutely. My name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium originally from the UK, and I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I give readings on PsychicAccess.com, and also one of the co-hosts on the radio show.
Perfect. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that.
Welcome.
Let me just jump to my next co-host, Sharon Bradley. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, Jackie. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Good. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm a psychic for many, many years, and I don't use any tools. I'm able to see in spirit and hear from spirit, and I also do readings on PsychicAccess.com.
Wow, very good. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
And last, but certainly not least, our next guest, the third co-host here, is Maureen Halloran. Welcome, Maureen.
Hi.
Are you with us?
I'm sure you can. Yes, hello, Jackie, and thank you for addressing me last, because that's always good. Age before beauty, they say.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Maureen.
If I must? Okay, yeah. Well, this is my thing. Before the soul can see, the harmony within us must be attained. So I have been a tarologist for the past 25 years, and I feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I utilize other tools, and I'm all the C's. I'm not going to go through all of them, but we all kind of know what the C's are, all the good C's. And I help people help themselves, and also I'm a very objective, and I feel that because of that I'm very good at, for each individual, helping them in what their needs are. And I also am a psychic at psychicaccess.com, and I'm also a producer of a web TV network on Saturday evenings.
Correct. And that's Tarot Visions.
Correct.
Okay. Well, perfect. Thank you for sharing, Maureen, and thanks you for Sharon and Steve. As I said in the beginning, my name is Jackie Hahn, and I'm also a reader here on PsychicAccess.com. I work closely with the angelic realm because it's very important to me to bring through messages from their energy that are always filled with love and compassion. And that's the tricky part. We get a lot of different kinds of people seeking advice, and we got to meet them where they're at and be able to share, insights. So I'm very conscious of that, and that's very important to me. Okay. So I'm very honored to have the opportunity to interview Angela Nicastro. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Since her childhood, Angela has been aware of her unusual insights, visions, and otherworldly senses while learning to live her life walking and understanding language through multidimensionality. Evolving over many years, this heightened state of abstract awareness allows Angela to help others discover and live their highest potential through her own form of alchemic transformational healing and organic astrological insight. Blending together science, spirituality, and psychic awareness, Angela naturally reads the genetically encoded language of the DNA, viewing and interpreting the experiences of each soul from the past, present, and future. For more information about Angela Nicastro, please visit her website, www.loveexpanded.com. Excuse me. And please be sure to stay tuned for our second half of the show, where you're going to receive free on-air readings with our gifted psychics, and we're going to announce that number later on, so just make sure you have your pen and paper handy. If you were unable to catch the show last week on the Fox Sisters, you'll find a recorded link in our archives, as well as all of our other shows here at Psychic Access Talk, TalkRadio.com. Excuse me, I think I'm losing my voice. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so we appreciate whatever you could do to support us. Anyway, let me just jump in and welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you, Jackie. It's great to be here with all your listeners this evening.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. I'm so glad you took time out of your busy schedule, because I know you're a very busy woman.
Yes, but you know what? It's always a good thing to help out a friend.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Sure,
I want to just jump in because, you know, reading through your profile, there's so much different terminology, and I want to kind of go through each thing. So I want to talk about first the term energy, because we hear that word a lot, and I want to hear your description of the of what energy is and the languaging of it. So I know it's a loaded question, so if you can enlighten us a little bit, that would be great.
Sure. From the perspective that I've had over many, many years, and I heard you read my bio there, and it sounds pretty interesting, even, you know, that I'm listening to it, because I don't even remember the last time that I actually went back, and you know, how you just don't read your own, you know, stuff. But, you know, I'm just thinking back, you know, many, many, many years ago when I was very young and I first started to become aware that I had these gifts and this psychic thing was going on and the premonitions and all the dreams and you know, always thinking about, you know, the people that die and where do they go, you know, when you're a child. So I think that for me, early on, I understood energy as a connective force of you know, something that actually is a language for us. And energetically, in our DNA, in our cells, you know, we carry imprints. We carry ancestral imprints. We carry past life memory. So it's an energetic form. And, you know, the expression we attract, you know, the mirrors of what we are, basically what that is the energy that we carry in our cells, you know, different emotions, different experiences vibrate at a different you know, awareness or a different level of energy. And so our body energetically sends out, you know, these messages that basically says, you know, I'm one that fears abandonment, so people come into my life and they abandon me. So energy becomes this, you know, kind of invisible language that causes us to draw experiences and people into our lives so that we can learn to understand our own emotional energy. So essentially, it's light energy, but it's filtered through our experiences.
Wow. So, I'm going to have to listen to this recording again.
Yeah, so by design, you know, it's our blueprint. And, you know, light is our most organic energy language. So, again, you know, energy can range anywhere from an emotional feeling that we've had from a past life or from an ancestral experience, you know, something we experience in childhood to, you know, the most infinitely expansive part of our soul blueprint that is here to obtain self-mastery. So that's a very broad diagram of energy for us to understand.
Right, right. And do you, so you do that in all of your readings. You bring through, because I've had many readings with you, and it's the understanding of, to the client, you know, the gift that I see in you is that because of your expansive knowledge, that you're able to interpret it to your clients in what we consider lay terms. So talk a little bit about, you know, the communication, because hearing you say that about energy, it's kind of like people might think, wow, that's wow, I need to wrap my head around that. But your gift is about communicating in a way that their soul or their body understands?
Well, let me see if I can explain it this way. You know, astrologically, we carry certain markers, and those planetary markers give us, you know, certain abilities or a certain awareness that kind of, it's like almost like a connect the dot kind of an understanding with astrology. And astrology is also a spiritual science. And for me, I practice evolutionary astrology, which again, you know, it's just another way of looking at people's past lives, looking at what causes them to be stuck, and using an energy that matches their soul blueprint to unblock those things. So I have my moon in Gemini, let me put it to you this way. So when I have a client in my chair or on the phone, you know, it's very easy for me to create a language for their emotions that they cannot pinpoint. So let me just clarify. You know, you live with symptoms. People, we all have symptoms of deep, deep, deep core issues. And the symptoms are like anger, abandonment, you know, unworthiness, rage, things like that. And we live with these symptoms. And because we don't understand why people reject us or why we feel abandoned, you know, we will have a tendency to think it's something in us. You know, we're bad, we're wrong, we did something horrible, and we never really get to understand. It's at that point when someone really wants to know, you know, a lot of times they'll seek out therapy. But therapy essentially works with the mind. And I have a lot of associates that are in the therapy fields that send their clients to me because I have a gift that lets me see exactly where someone is stuck, what the core issue is, what lifetime did it come from. I can explain the past life and, you know, again, create the energy that matches the soul blueprint, which vibrates at the frequency of unconditional love. So when we live these symptoms of abandonment and unworthiness and guilt and grief, the vibration's very low. And the end result of that is that it prevents our heart from fully opening and healing, and therefore we cannot express, you know, what is really in our heart in terms of, you know, the divine complement of unconditional love or, you know, whatever you choose to see it as. But it wreaks havoc in our life. And it stops us from being able to speak and hear and understand our own emotional language. And, you know, a lot of what we experience in trauma is actually a pre-verbal memory. So it's in the womb, it's at birth, it's up to the age of 3. And that's why a lot of people have a very difficult time emotionally because they don't understand. You know, sometimes your life doesn't match what you feel. So the work that I do allows people to come back into wholeness, and literally one session with me is equivalent to 30 lifetimes of therapy. Now, I've been doing the DNA work since probably the mid to late, you know, like 90s. So, you know, it's really cutting edge. It's cutting edge healing technology for the body that, you know, I would challenge you to find someplace else.
I've looked. There's nothing. No.
You know, the cutting edge. It has to be new, and it has to be on the edge, or I'm not going to do it. But that's
Angela, let me ask you, in the cutting edge and all of that, so do you find yourself at this point in time still gathering new information and still, I would say reinventing yourself, but evolving? I mean, because obviously this sort of work takes a life of its own. So how is it different now than when you started back in the 90s?
Well, that's an interesting question, because when I started back in the 90s, it was because my psychic work and my astrology had evolved. And it was about really my heart opening. And I knew that at the time, but I didn't know that I would have, you know, a 10 or 12 year cycle of time that I would be working so deeply on myself. And, you know, it isn't a situation where I just kind of tell other people what to do. I am the energy, and that is because I have cleared and transcended, you know, just so many lifetimes worth of trauma. And that's what makes me so gifted, is because I've already understood it in myself, so it's very easy for me to get that in somebody else's body. And, you know, the work is always expanding, but now it's more about expanding into the realm of, you know, kind of ET connection and pulling in these vibrational connections in our cellular memory to the origins of who we are. And you know that because you've come to some of the classes and you've done the intensives, you know that the work does evolve and it always meets us where we are. So it's a very difficult thing to explain unless you experience it, and then once you do, of course, then you understand. It's a natural understanding that people will have once they experience it. They'll just know immediately. So it will, I would imagine, you know, because we're working at this point now where we have, you know, this kind of illusion thing going on with Neptune and Pisces, and the whole purpose to this part of where we are in the, you know, this transformational thing on the planet is that we are meant to be our most authentic self. So the work is continuing to expand and pulling in pieces that are teaching people how to take responsibility, how to move through victimization, how to open their hearts to clear away their addiction issues and really, really find that centrally core piece of themselves so that no matter what happens in the world, they can stay grounded. So, you know, we will continue to evolve the work, you know, as long as we choose to do it, you know, it will continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You touched a little bit about, you know, Neptune and the planets, and you know, I know the topic is about astrology, and I love everything you shared and the information about you and all of those awesome things. The evolutionary astrology, and is that something that you've created? Is that different than sort of the traditional astrology that most people are aware of?
I believe it is, because evolutionary astrology is soul blueprint astrology. And it really does work, again, with, you know, my gifts are so multidimensional that it allows me to see, like, the past, the present, the future, all at the same time. When I look at someone's chart, what happens is the chart will take on an energetic life of its own. And it just opens up for me dimensionally. So it kind of becomes a hologram where I can see all of that person. And I can, you know, just kind of show them, you know, where their blocks might be. What are the things that they are most having a most difficult time with? But not only that, how they can turn that into something else and what tools they need in order to move things forward. So somebody's natal chart really never changes, but it's affected directly and indirectly by the transiting astrology. So wherever the planets are now, you know, if you're 50 years old, they're obviously not in the same place they were when you were 50. But astrology works in cycles, and it has a recurring theme with certain planets and then the outer planets. Like we have Neptune and Pisces, which we haven't had in a very, very long time. And none of us that are alive now will ever experience Neptune and Pisces again in this lifetime. So some cycles are, you know, very, very long, and then other cycles are very short. And so depending on that, the way I see it is astrology really does tell us what time it is, not only on the planet in terms of evolution, but in our personal journey in terms of evolution and where we are. So for me, astrology really is the most palpable and the most authentic time frame that we can look at, because it does affect the Earth, and it does affect the cycles of the Earth, and you know how we're going through all these changes. Well, this is a 36,000-year astrological cycle, so that those patterns are repeating themselves again. So it's time. It's a timeline astrology.
Mm, right. And when you talk about the transit and, you know, things going on in the world and, you know, this is the time now and all that, like, in a more broader perspective, what can we do? What can we expect? What are we getting prepared for? You know, we got 2012 coming, and what is your take on that, Angela?
Well, the whole idea behind what's happening on this planet is, you know, this shift. The shift is it's an unprecedented awareness. And we are really being given opportunities right now to create a whole new structure on this planet. So what we're looking at is a spiritual understanding now. It's a component of coming back to our origins. So people right now are experiencing a lot of anxiety. They're feeling a lot of fear. They're not certain about their future. And, of course, we know that powers that be sometimes wreak havoc with us in our daily lives because of things that they do. Some of those things are basically done intentionally in order to create, you know, certain things on the planet that work in their favor. So having said that, the most important thing that people can do for themselves right now is to learn how to clear their fear stuff away. Because, you know, fear is a symptom. And we have to learn to use our intellectual intelligence to understand, I mean, our intuitive intelligence, to understand the difference between real fear, something that we need to be cautious about, and something that's just left over in our DNA. So when on the spring equinox, we had Uranus and the Sun both at 0 degrees Aries, which is a huge, huge, huge representation that we are beginning a new evolutionary cycle. So this past cycle was billions and billions of years old, but we're moving in an energy now that is so fast that time will become irrelevant very soon. So people are feeling very ungrounded, like they almost don't know where to turn or what to do or how to breathe anymore. And if you notice, you know, like there's more and more and more, you know, kind of things going on with the necessities, you know, gas, you know, fuel prices, food prices, housing. So those things are pulling everybody's attention away from the, you know, the things that are necessary now. And that what's necessary is for people to stay grounded and to really learn how to deal with that emotional stuff that's creating their fear.
Right. And how can they identify the difference between sort of the fake fear or the fear that's real? Is that something in their body that they can get in touch with?
Well, they can, but again, you know, it's a process of learning how to tap into the DNA and really know what's going on with that. You know, people have to understand. They need to know why. And that's the question that's never answered. You know, people can know what, they can know how, but they don't know why. Why do I feel like this? And, you know, because we carry this sense of abandonment that is so, 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 so deep, that feeling of, you know, anxiety and insecurity, it runs constantly, and that's what creates the fear. You know, it's like this big illusion that's represented on this planet. And until people can learn to understand what that's about in their personal DNA, how will they be able to know the difference and what's fear and what isn't? And I guess, you know, the only question they can really ask themselves is, okay, what's real about this situation? You know, in this moment, what is real? And, you know, judging, you know, kind of trying to decipher, you know, is this abandonment real? Is this deceit real? You know, is this betrayal real? Or am I just projecting it from somewhere else? The other thing that they can do to help themselves is to sit down and go back into their childhood and really look at what happened in your childhood that is still playing out in your life today. If you had a father or a mother that left early or who wasn't present in your childhood, you're going to have this sense of not being supported, of feeling abandoned, feeling betrayed, maybe a piece of your identity is missing. So, you know, it's almost like without some type of guidance, you know, how do you put a structure into all that chaos?
Right. All right. And that's very, very important, the why, you know. And
exactly.
I knew as a child myself, it was just like, why, why? Well, you know, nobody could answer those things.
Right.
And I think when we sit with ourselves, you know, for example, if people, you know, come to you or they don't come to you, you know, the answers are within when we start to ask those questions to ourselves.
And that's very true. We, because of our DNA is really a language, you know, all of this is in our DNA. And we have memory in our DNA since the beginning of time. You know, that's for sure. The problem is that if people don't have an awareness to look within and learn to communicate with their own emotional language, you know, if they're not plugged into that, it's very, very difficult for people to make sense out of things that happen. But, you know, we are a very intelligent civilization, although, you know, for the most part, we aren't being given credit for that. But we are a very intelligent civilization here. And we can rationalize a lot of things. But when it comes to our emotions, we can't think those things. And because we have no real memory of past lives, you know, our mind is just a receptor of information, so it only knows the present time. So how does somebody go back into a past life and pull up a core? you know, without some type of assistance. But again, if they go back to childhood, they'll see in early childhood where those things began this time. And
right,
that's
right.
The best way I can tell people, you know, if they're going to do it on their own, that's what they have to look for.
Right. Yeah, very good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of jump here. We got some interesting topics tonight as well. The 13th, the Zodiac, and I'm sure you've heard of this. Is that real? And sort of where did that come from? And does that really exist? I'm just curious of your insight on that.
And you're talking about Ophiuchus? The 13th constellation?
Well, there's a lot of publicity about it, not recently, but maybe in the past, like maybe 6 months ago, they were saying, oh, another sign, all of a sudden, the 13th zodiac sign, like rather than having 12, we have 13. Honestly, I don't know the name of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Okay.
And, you know, according to, you know, these ancient astrological recordings, it sits between the tip of the arrow of Sagittarius and the tail of the scorpion in Scorpio. So basically all the hype was, oh no, you know, I'm not really a Scorpio, you know, I'm a Sag, or I'm not a Sag, now I'm a Capricorn. You know, the truth is we are a blend anyway. You know, that just really is about the sign, our sun sign. But we are not just our sun sign. We are a blend of all of our astrological influences. And it was believed that, you know, it was called this because it was personified as the all-seeing, all-knowing, like, eye of God. And according to these, you know, ancient mythologies or the scriptures around this, the writings around it, it was removed from the constellations because man was not evolved enough to look into the eye of God. Now, there's a few different things. Metaphorically, if you ever read the Bible, you know, in the beginning when it talks about Adam and Eve and, you know, the metaphors and all that and the tree of knowledge, well, this constellation is very similar in nature to this understanding of all-seeing, all-knowing, and that if, you know, humans were to look at it or touch it or be a part of it, you know, they would self-destruct, much like the Ark of the Covenant. So we don't really know, is this a mythological thing? Is this a real thing? Does it have significance in some other way? Because even astrologically, I don't know, you probably are familiar. I don't know if your listeners are, though. In the middle of a natal chart, there is all kinds of lines and angles, and they are really the sacred geometry of a person's soul. Sometimes those angles create, you know, different things. One of those is called a yod. And it's said also that people that come in with a yod in their chart, you know, they have a destiny. And they have a very difficult life until they come to the point where they surrender everything, all of their ego, all of everything, and they can receive the vision of their destiny. Well, that yod is similar to, you know, this Ophiuchus, this eye, you know, like this finger, eye of God, finger of God, you know, tree of knowledge, you know, the all-seeing, the all-knowing. So, you know, people are kind of saying, I'm sorry?
I think there's just a little techie issue there. It's okay.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you were speaking.
No, I'm not.
You know, okay. People are kind of saying that, you know, when, you know, December 21st, 2012 rolls around, you know, what's it going to be, the end of the world, or is it going to be Nibiru shows back up the planet, is it going to be this 13th zodiac constellation? And the truth is that, you know, we've, as time goes on, astrological time, our orbit or the, you know, the axis and the rotation of the Earth changes. So we don't know exactly if we are going to, you know, have all of a sudden something appears in the sky that wasn't there before. Because we do know that there were star systems and constellations there 36, 45, 50,000 years ago that we no longer can see from Earth. So it's very possible that it exists. But right now, we don't have any proof of this. Astrologically, there is no proof.
Right. So that's not something that... But where did this 2012 come from? Was it from the Mayan calendar? Like, where did all this hype start?
Well,
and then,
yeah, it really is the Mayan short calendar that, you know, and remember, like, when people, this is the thing I think a lot of people forget. When they're reading about these things, they have to kind of get back in the mindset that that calendar was written in a very different time. So what was going on in the Mayan world at that time? Was it possible that they, you know, the Mayan civilization just disappeared? There's no trace of their endings or where they went or what happened to them. So did they experience some impending Earth event? Because they were astronomers and astrologers, they have probably the most accurate astrological calendar ever. And so were they just masters at, you know, astronomy and astrology, and they saw the end of their world coming, and they looked back in an astrological cycle and said, well, it repeats itself every so many thousands of years, so by 2012, you know, this cycle is going to happen again. So we are right now in the last day of the Mayan calendar, and, you know, as we move into 2012, the Mayan calendar ends on December 21st of 2012. So, but what you don't see really too much is if you turn the calendar over, what they show on the other side of the Mayan calendar are two worlds and two paths. And basically what they say is you have a choice. You can choose which path you'll be on and which world you'll live in. So that kind of coincides with this other planet. People say, oh, there are going to be two Earths. But what it's about is a dimensional understanding where, you know, people that have really been working to raise their vibration can live in this reality that is not about greed and pain and, you know, ego, whereas there are others who will remain in those vibrations. And it's almost as if the way it's portrayed, that those two worlds, like you can be in it but not of it, and it won't touch you. So it's an interesting, you know, kind of concept of what's been presented. And of course, you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, there's so many books, there's so many things. Everybody jumped on the 2012 bandwagon, and, you know, there's so much information out there. And I think that a lot of the authors are really channeling in some really good stuff, but, you know, you've got to kind of take it in the context of where it comes from. And, you know, as we move closer to 2012, we'll see, is the heartbeat of the Earth speeding up? Is the gravitational pull changing? I mean, we obviously can see that we have Earth changes, and that will continue. You know, the underground pressure is going to bring a lot more changes combined with, you know, the astrological pressure and what's happening as the Earth, the gravitational, you know, shifting of the Earth. I mean, it's possible we could have a pole shift, even if it's a magnetic pole shift. So we don't really know. But when we look back in astrological history, we know that in certain, you know, structures of time, we do have very defined Earth changes. So it could have been that the Maya disappeared in this same cycle and, of course, believed then that every civilization will disappear within that same cycle should it recur. But, you know, we do know. I mean, obviously, we see the devastating effects of, you know, these Earth changes, and they will continue for a while, so...
Right. Well, on that note, we need to just take a quick commercial break, a psychic access commercial break, and we will pick up where we left off. So stay tuned, everybody.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Hi, welcome back to the show. We have our very special guest, Angela Nicastro, talking about all the astrological changes and such on the Earth. Angela, where we were talking before, And it's interesting, the way things are getting shaken up, and the tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes and things taking place. I mean, how much more can Mother Earth take? Is this her way of regurgitating and because of our human ignorance and not honoring her? Or what's your take on everything that's going on in the world now?
Well, I'm sure from a spiritual perspective, a lot of people would conclude that it's because we've abused the planet and things like that. And, obviously we've messed with our atmosphere and, the air quality, and we've, destroyed the rainforest to some degree. So, yes, I do believe that global warming and things like that are part of, things that are man-made. But on the other hand, as I said, if you look back in astrological cycles, you'll see periods of time where we had, the meltdown of the ice caps, and we've had, the ice ages. So we do have various, things that change on the planet that are geological in nature, that are environmental, and they are not of our doing. The difference is now we've got billions of people living on the planet, where never before have we had nearly that amount. So, of course, the magnitude of the damage is shocking when you're talking about something that affects, hundreds of thousands of people at a time. So, we are going to experience more crisis on the planet. But, what I will say about the new evolutionary cycles is that it is time for the power to come back to the people. It's time for balance to be found somehow, and it's time for new leadership. So what does that mean for our government? That remains to be seen, and, it's a touchy subject. So, yeah.
We'll leave that for another time.
Yeah, sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, that could take up the rest of the show, and I know we want to talk about astrology here, because it's such a fascinating topic with layers and layers and layers of understanding. And this is just something you were naturally gifted at. You didn't study per se, correct, Angela? This is something that just evolved in your being?
I always joke around with people and say, when they ask me, how did you learn how to do this kind of astrology? And I laugh and I say, I think it's my, my natural language. It was like I was born speaking astrology. I could talk about astrology, I think, before I could even do math. I don't know. It's crazy. But I think where it comes from is, in my past lives, I have a lot of scientists lifetimes, where I just understand, without words, the fractalized way we live, and there's just something about that is, astrology is based on mathematical formulas, and so it is very scientific, and of course, it's like any form of art, it's open to interpretation, so, the majority of people will do more like what I call textbook astrology. And then, if they have intuitive gifts, I would imagine that at some point they would incorporate that. For me, it was the other way around. It was very intuitive before I actually learned symbolisms from textbooks, which I was always drawn to the more out there kind of understandings. I like to, read philosophy and Hawking's and the black holes and things like that, because to me the science is so much more fascinating, because it has to do with everything that we do on this planet. So it definitely is part of what drew me in deeper into the astrological understandings of life.
Right. And let me ask you, when the chart, the difference between, let's say, a natal chart and a birth chart, are you receiving information? Is there sort of a overall theme? Or what can you get from a natal chart that you can't get from a birth, or vice versa?
Okay, so a natal chart and a birth chart are the same thing.
Okay, the one that's the pre, where the parents, the conceived, I don't know what the word is.
Yeah,
so not the day they're born, but the day the parents got together and had their love act.
Ways that you can cast a chart. You can do it for a new job, a new business. You can do it for, a problem you're having. You could do it for a preconception. I mean, a prenatal chart, which is something that I've incorporated a lot into my readings on natal charts, because when you go back and you look at a prenatal chart, you're like, wow, you know, when I was in the womb, this is what my parents were experiencing, or this is what was happening in the world at that time, and that's part of what influences us genetically. So it, to me, I feel that the prenatal chart is almost more authentic than the birth chart. It's like the prenatal chart can be all the components, and then the natal chart is from when you're born. That's kind of how you're going to live it out, you know, how you'll express it. So that's a very interesting question, and the information is very different a lot of times, you know, from one chart to another. Or even solar return, which is done on someone's birthday, and then I do it, you know, in a way that, like, kind of compares it to the natal chart as well to see where the progressions are or see where, how you're being influenced in that particular year of your life.
Right, and I apologize, and that's what I meant, the prenatal,
I apologize
for that.
I know, that's okay. I wasn't trying to correct you, I just didn't want people to be confused.
Yeah, like I was.
That's okay. There's Neptune's in Pisces, Jackie. We're all confused now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll blame astrology for my confusion.
Yeah, that's it. See, it's good because you can blame it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, in talking about the chart, I have an interesting question: is how much of what our chart is predestined and, you know, I don't want to say set in stone, but what can we do, you know, to influence? And these, like you were saying, these are sort of markers and things that are we can expect, but what is our play in our chart?
Well, that's a really good question, because a lot of people will think about that. You know, because I have this chart, does it mean that my life is predestined and I have to go according to this plan? You know, to me, how I would explain it is, these are part of your character, the where your planets are, the signs they're in, the houses they're in. You know, these are the most available, you know, pieces of you right now. If you've got, you know, Mercury and Gemini, then you're gonna have a tendency to go towards things that are about communicating and about language, and, you know, but on the other hand, you might have the tendency to be very scattered. So it's about perception. And, you know, one thing that I don't think people remember a lot, or they'll say, oh, I have free will, but do they really understand what it means to choose with their free will? So all of the planets evolve, and we can choose how we want to use the energy of those planets in any situation or at any given time. Now, there are certain markers in the chart that are much more difficult to shift, because they are about a structure of teachings, like our Saturn marker. Now, you know, you've been in the intensives, right? And you
right.
know that a lot of times what we come back to in an intensive is the Saturn. Because the Saturn is really saying to us, you know, did you learn your lessons? Did you find within yourself the pieces that make you feel as a failure, or, you know, that you haven't overcome, where you can't be authentic or you have issues with authority? Because every evolutionary cycle for us is about retaining more wisdom so we move into self-mastery. So it's cycles within cycles. And because we do have free will, and because of the DNA work, we can look in our DNA and say, okay, I don't need these patterns anymore. Now my astrology takes on a whole different understanding, because it isn't about maybe tripping over myself anymore. It's about being a teacher. So absolutely we can choose how we're going to use our astrology and in what direction it's going to go. And remember, it's in a wheel for a reason. Because it moves around through time. And as it does that, naturally, we will have different awareness. We will understand things in a different way. It's called maturity.
Mm. Yeah, I like that metaphor at the wheel. And you're right. It's the circle of life and what we choose. And that's it. You know, those are sort of guidelines and posts to be aware of. But, yeah, ultimately, it does come down to our choice.
Yes, it does. And, you know, there is a part of us that is aligned with our soul destiny, but that's what we've chosen. So is there a part of our character that will always remain, even though we choose to clear our DNA and you know, remove certain parts that we don't need, of course, because the idea is that we retain the wisdom. So we will always have those parts of ourselves. It's just that, you know, through another experience, they will operate differently.
Is there anything in the chart, Angela, that is not flexible, for lack of better terms, of our of our choosing? Is there anything that we just, that's it?
Well,
we can't do anything with?
Well, there's always choice. And we are, as I said earlier, influenced sometimes by transits, right? So, you know, people that are, let's say their ascendant is Cancer, or they have a moon in Cancer. Every time the moon changes signs, which is like every 2.5 days, they're going to have different emotions and different feelings. If they don't understand that, it's because they're ruled by the moon. If they don't understand that, then they may have difficulty experiencing their own emotions. But once they know, oh, that's natural for me, then it makes it a lot easier. So we have, you know, within this, you know, group of planets, we have, you know, some of the planets that are personal planets, like Moon, Mars, Venus, and Mercury. And then we have the planets that are the outer planets, like Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn. They change signs very, very, and they move very, very slowly. So their influence is not felt as deeply. It's more over time we gain awareness, unless we are, for whatever reason, in our personal chart, you know, like if you have Pluto rising, then obviously you're going to be more influenced by what Pluto's doing at any given time. But those planets will have a tendency to be more unconscious, to be more nebulous, more evolutionary, so their influence on us isn't always felt so directly. So the personal planets are the ones that we tend to get caught up in more, our feeling nature, you know, our relationships, you know, what affects us on a daily basis, you know, money, jobs, and that's because of the personal planet. So if we learn how to use the energy, you know, then we can unblock anything.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, and I can tell you, because I've been doing this a long time, that it definitely, it is a real thing, and it does happen.
Okay, good. So everybody listening, you know, take heed to Angela's words. I love that.
Yeah.
And moving forward with charts and such, for people who are interested in learning more how to interpret their chart, obviously yours is very gifted. What about anything out there? What would you say is the closest thing to what you do in you know, very simplified form or languaging for people if they were interested in learning their chart?
I would have to be honest here and say that I have not looked or purchased an astrology book in a very long time, but I would imagine that there are simplified versions of books that people can pick up. And I, you know, like anything else, pick it up, thumb through it. If it resonates to you, then it's the one for you. And it'll teach at least the very basics. And also, you know, I do teach astrology classes. So if people are interested in learning, you know, in a different way, they certainly can get on the mailing list, and I can certainly, you know, they'll be alerted to, you know, the class schedules. But if they wanted to kind of do their own thing, you know, I believe they can even search online and find information, I'm sure. And then just pick up a very basic book that teaches them, you know, it'll start with teaching, you know, the planets and signs, you know, what all the signs mean, what the planets mean, what the houses mean, you know, the kind of separate the fundamental things, and then it'll start teaching how to put a planet in a sign in a house, and then interpretation.
Great. Sharon, the co-host here, would like to ask you a question, Angela?
Sure, no problem.
Hi, Angela. Wonderful show. It's great. We're learning a lot. I was told that I have a Virgo interception. Do I have the right word? Virgo doesn't appear in my chart. Is that what it's called?
Yes, and yes, it's intercepted. That means that it's between two signs.
And okay, it just doesn't show up.
Right, it doesn't have like a place of its own.
Okay, could that explain my messiness?
Well, you know what happens? I don't know where you have it in your chart, but whatever house it's in will have some influence. And then wherever your Mercury is, whatever sign, whatever house, because Virgo's ruled by Mercury. So, you know, you would look at your Mercury to see what was going on with that and why it was being affected that way. But the thing about an interception is that it's something that you have to learn to pay close attention to. So it's not just Virgo that's intercepted then, it's Pisces is intercepted as well, because astrology works in pairs. So you'd have to look at, you know, where are those two signs and pay attention to the rulers of those signs and what sign they're in, you know, the planet, and then what houses they're in, so that you can understand the interception and why it's there and what you have to do to pull that out. A lot of times when people have interceptions, it's because there's a great amount of fear from something in the past that they didn't want to look at. In this case, it could be one of two things. The healer in you or the artist in you doesn't want to show up. So possibly, you know, it could be from some memory that's connected to that that doesn't allow you to open those doors completely.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. So,
you're welcome.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks,
go ahead. Sure. You were going to say something, Angela? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, but she can, you know, just by understanding, like I said, the rulers of those signs, her Neptune and her Mercury, she can understand, you know, kind of like what's going on with that and how to open those doors up so she can get the most benefit from those signs.
Right.
A lot of people have interceptions. That's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. How that happens is because every sign is 30 degrees. And sometimes the way the planets are, the astrology is lined up at that moment of your birth, something could be retrograde or just like in that moment, something could be changing signs and it sets it up so that, you know, that particular sign is not seen right in that moment. But the influence is there because there's a planet that rules that sign and it's someplace else in the chart.
Mm. Wow, I'm still baffled by all this. So that's why I come to you, the expert,
exactly.
To understand
my chart.
That's
the whole thing, you know. Astrology is not for everybody.
Yeah.
Only because the language of it can be a little complicated. But you know, it's just like any other mathematical formula. You know, A plus B equals C kind of thing. And if you put algebra in front of me, I'd have to get up and walk out the door. But if you put astrology in front of me, the math is no problem.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. So we're going to, we have just a few minutes left, Angela, but if I want to ask you a quick question actually about how does the numerology, I mean, is there a reason that houses are numbered and 30 degrees? Like, is there a purpose for the numbers in an astrological chart in astrology? Because you mentioned mathematics. I was just curious about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know numerically, you know, numbers are vibrational, and they correspond to the harmonics inside of frequencies in the universe. And so every degree, there's 360 degrees total in astrology, every degree is a symbol that has its own interpretation based on that number. So we know that in this universe, in our bodies, in the universe, everything is built on the exact same mathematical formulas, and astrology corresponds to those same formulas because it's another way of seeing the truth. It's another way of seeing your soul, you know, just as in if you use numerology or you tapped into the harmonics, like even the notes in music, you know, have a harmonics, and, you know, each note has so many subnotes or harmonics, and so it goes on and on and on. It's a fractal. And it's, you know, kind of based in this idea of infinite expansion. So definitely the numbers have a lot to do with the vibration and the interpretation.
Right. Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Is there any last thing you would like to share with the listeners, Angela? We just have one more minute left. So anything you could leave with everybody before we go?
Well, I just would, you know, want everybody to understand that, you know, this kind of work, the DNA work, the evolutionary work, really is for everybody. It's not reserved for people that have a spiritual understanding of life or who are conditioned to be spiritual or, you know, any of that. It really does work to get to everybody. So, you know, everyone can have an opportunity to understand where they're blocked, where the fear is coming from, and be able to move through that if they're choosing to, if they're willing to. You know, it'll work for everyone.
Wonderful.
And you know, Jackie, I'm also an artist, and so I put that same transformational energy into the paintings that I do because sometimes people need it to be that way, and it's an energetic thing that happens for them as well. So, you know.
Right, and distance and time and space doesn't matter with energy, obviously.
Absolutely not. That's why we can do phone sessions. That's why we can work with people and they're not sitting in front of us.
Right. Because it's and you offer a lot of phone sessions. So if people want their chart read, if they're interested in your astrology classes and all that information is on your website, Angela?
Absolutely. And, you know, the website is updated periodically. Right now I'm doing a lot of online web classes with archetypes and there's not an astrology class running right now, but there will be. And if people are interested, they could just send me an email at info@loveexpanded.com and ask to be put on the mailing list, and I'll take care of that.
Okay, perfect. Well, listen, Angela, thank you so much. I can't believe how fast the time went.
I know. Thank you, Jackie. It was a pleasure, and good luck with the rest of your show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening, and I will see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, great. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I want to thank Angela. Again, her website is www.loveexpanded.com. Her information is going to be up on our guest page at Psychic Access Talk Radio. Okay, I would like to make a few announcements, and then we'll get to the fun stuff. We'll be bantering with the other co-hosts, as we always do. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnations to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. Well, you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All the co-hosts here are on Psychic Access Talk Radio. Excuse me, of course we are. But all of us here on the talk radio show are also on Psychic Access. So if you like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. And for all you site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is more that is referred, excuse me, to psychicaccess.com. And you can find out those details, psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody. We encourage you to spread the word, and we really appreciate that. So we will, you know, let me give the number out. We're not going to be taking readings for about 15, 20 minutes. 724-444-4851. Just keep that handy. And we will be taking callers for free readings in about 15, 20 minutes. So I will announce that. You will not miss it, I promise. So, Sharon, welcome.
Hi.
How'd you enjoy the show?
It was really good. I love astrology, so it was like...
Ooh, I tell you, make your head spin, right?
I know. I want to get a reading from her. She's good.
Yes, she's really great. Yeah. So I want to ask you, why do you resonate with, and I don't even know if I'll say this right, Chiron. Chiro, thank you so much.
Chiron, yeah. Chiron. Well, when I was I studied astrology a bit, not like her, but there was one planet called Chiron. I don't even know if it's a planet, but it's called the Wounded Healer. So a lot of people that do readings and stuff like that, they've been hurt in their childhood, and then they transform and then teach. And she talked a bit about that too. So I just wanted to mention that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So.
Great. Well, well, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, that was mini, but...
Oh, is there anything else you want to share? Or?
No. That's all. I just wanted to talk about
that. Have you had your chart? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, I've studied a bit, so I know my chart.
Okay.
Like, I studied it a bit, but...
It's like something that you can study and look at again and find something else and find something else and find something else.
It's so true. And then you get to run one from today and then see where it's all like having an effect on your chart. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't think any chart is ever the same. I mean, for you, for one person, you know, depending on where you are in your evolution and your life cycle. So it's, and like you were saying, it's all about the time. It's pretty much right on time wherever you're at. So it's, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, I liked the way she explained things.
Yeah, I couldn't repeat that if I wanted to, but yeah, it was very accurate.
And the Mayan calendar, that was perfect when she said that you turn it over and there's two worlds. I thought, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
thanks, Jackie.
Sure, thanks, Sharon. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, there I am.
You are. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts on astrology after you heard... After hearing your interview, your perspective.
You know, I can appreciate what she was saying about how she didn't know of any books, because with me, astrology was very interesting, because when I unintentionally got involved with the Tarot, it wasn't something I wanted to do, because I'm self-taught in every way. And although I'm always looking for ways of, you know, like doing the show and stuff, I've been learning quite a bit of new things. And I am every day, as we all are, teachers and students, off and on. But when she says that, because when I got involved in astrology, it was because of my new tarot that it fascinated me, because, like I said, I never went out to want to be a tarot reader or anything. It was from a very hard, tormented journey. And so the astrology became part of, I was amazed when I went back and looked at, I got involved during that time period. There were no computer generated, which I have now, for instance. I have bought one of those things, which are great and nice, but it's not the same. I had one of those computer generated, I mean, not the computer, I had to do it by my own head, the mathematics, and which was very, very difficult. And she, I think, spoke about also about how what I would do is I found out that everything was similar. Everything, all the universal symbology just like kind of fused together. Astrology, numerology, tarot, they all just made so much sense. And it would take me like maybe, I wasn't doing charts for a lot of people, just for very special people. But it was because of my intuition, I was also going beyond just the astrology that was going. But it was very difficult because I was learning on my own, but I was amazed how it integrated into tarot and how the houses integrated into the numerology, and it was, and in addition to that, are you following me? Okay.
I'm still here. I'm listening carefully. Thank you.
I'm really passionate about this because it's like I'm living through it. It's like it was yesterday, and I put my all into it, and I would draw my own chart, my own wheel, and I would, have you ever done it? Have you ever done it in your head, the chart to where you have the degrees and you have to have it just right, but just doing it from the old-fashioned way? Probably not.
I can't say I have. It's quite a whole nother world, and I don't think I want to go there. I'll be honest with you. It confuses me.
Able to really go beyond it. It was really, and I would suggest to anybody, but now, you know, really, it's great to have the chart done completely. It gets all the degrees, and then you can have fun from there. But it was because it is what it was back then. We didn't have that. So I was having to really put my mind into everything, but then it all turned out to be like, it was amazing. Like the tarot, the numerology, the numbers on the tarot with the numerology, with the astrology, it just was fascinating. And also, I'm really, everybody knows I'm into Carl Jung. I mean, it's a no-brainer. And also, I really appreciated, you know, like I always talk about how I only know what I know, but I do like his belief system, and he would use, he recognized the astrology, how it could be an important tool. And so, you know, you can imagine, mm-hmm. this is in the 1950s. He could imagine how it was for growth and self-awareness. So this is one of the gifts of astrology, the birth chart. So he used it in 1954 with a couple. He was doing some, because he was a psychologist. And it really helped him help this couple. It was wonderful. So I'm really backing him all the way.
I agree. There you have it. Would you like to add something more? I mean, that I agree what you're saying. The connection, the number is sort of the grid, the link, I believe. Because think about numbers as a language, it's universal. You could be in another country, you could be anywhere, and people will recognize numbers.
You're right. You're right about that. Number is, and are they recognized hand signals? Honestly. Oh.
Wait, which gesture are we talking about?
Anyway, like the way you... I'm bringing that up because it's funny to bring it up. Numbers, you're absolutely right about numbers. Except for Roman numeral. We even recognize those. Mm. But it was fascinating. When I went to the Bible, I was raised Catholic, and I went back and I read that book. Like, because, I was raised Catholic and went to the school, but, we didn't know what really was in that book. It's a very hard reading book, but there's something very particular about the tower for numeral and astrology. This all kind of correlates. And in the Bible, how it all correlates, I don't even know how to explain anymore, but it was I felt the tarot was universal symbology, but I think that the astrology and numerology and all the science, those sciences together, they bounce off each other. They mirror each other.
Mm-hmm. They complement each other.
They complement each other, but they also are a mirror to each other. I'm wondering who was this, he or whatever, the higher power, really had it together, just like he had it together when, it's a miracle that we're even born in this world.
Think about it. If we didn't have these tools and things, I mean, I know for me, life on Earth would be pretty boring. I mean, it's just the concept and how it's like, I love puzzles and unraveling things and you know what I'm saying? So those are like puzzles to me. It's like every time you sit down, it's like I'm learning something new. It never stops, because as humans, our evolution is, we never stop learning. We're always growing. When people say, oh, I'm exactly where I'm at, well then, you're not opening yourself up to anything else. You're actually going backwards. So
also, because of Union psychology and Carl Jung, I just loved it. The thing about him was, the collective unconsciousness. I'm real into that. But he also, as far as astrology, he went to a deeper level, because we all are born in a psychic inheritance. All of us are collectively, unconsciously connected. So he felt that we could learn a lot more about the human psyche through astrology, not only because the stars and planets are an external reflection like of our inner selves, but also because the inheritance that nature of astrology as well allows us to correlate symbols. That's what correlate symbols and unconscious knowledge. So that makes a lot of sense to me, because he felt that astrology is a language of symbols that meditates through levels of consciousness. So collectively, we all are connected in astrology, in numerology, and the tarot. But collectively, as a collective unit, I know I'm not Star Trek. The Voyager.
I get you, Maureen. I do get you. That's okay.
But I find that it just fascinating, and I long for those days. Although my mind was, it was boggling, but I long for that. It was very, because I did go to school to someone teach me, but I long for that. And I run across my stuff sometimes, but yeah. Well, thanks, cool. Jackie.
Well, thank you. I was going to ask another question, but we're going to get to Steve. He's been so quiet. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, hello. So, Steve, what is the difference between astrology and numerology as you know it?
Well, astrology is obviously all to do with the positioning of the planets, and numerology is all about the significance of numbers. Most people think that Pythagoras was purely about maths, but he was actually a seer as well, and he used the Pythagorean triangle to chart a person's life, and he would add squares to the sides of the triangle and calculate the different events around a person's lifetime. I really like the Faith Gervain and Dusty Bunker methodology for numerology because it's just fascinating. And it was interesting before because you guys were saying something about the Mayan people and the fact that you... help me out here, Jackie. There was mm-hmm. some comment about turning something over and seeing the other side.
The calendar.
The calendar. Well, it really reminded me of the concept that if you take the Pythagorean triangle and consider that to be a tool to calculate what's going on or the events and the energies on a person's life path, and you also put an inverted triangle, then you have two triangles together, and that reflects as above, so below, and the mm-hmm. fact that this world is a mirror image of the spirit world. Mm. So I hope that answers the question. I find numerology absolutely fascinating. I've had so much insight myself from numerology, and I have a lot of clients that want information on numerology, even in some case corporations that use numerology. I remember when I was doing business in India, often companies in India look at numerology and astrology, and so you can propose a date to negotiate a contract, and they'll sometimes be really cagey about that date and say, oh, no, we'd like to have the meeting on the 21st. And often the reason for that is that they've consulted their astrologer and that they feel there's a more auspicious time for them to negotiate their contract. It's fascinating. India is just fascinating when it comes to spirituality and astrology, numerology, all of that. Incredible.
Oh, I imagine it's like being home. I mean, the energy probably just permeates the area.
Absolutely. Just incredible. I've met some amazing people in India and learned a lot about spirituality and astrology. Most people in India have a family astrologer, and they consult that person throughout their lives.
Wow. We all need, like, you know, our you know, it's like, hey, we have a doctor we go to, we have somebody that mows our lawn, you know, hey, why not we have an astrologer or a numerologist as frequent, you know, as something that we take for granted every day, you know, resources that we use. So I think
Absolutely.
It's definitely really, go ahead.
It provides so much insight. I wouldn't go into a year without calculating the energy around the different months. And you can even go down to days and look at the energy during different days. But I do have clients that come back regularly wanting information on their numerology. And also people often look at their compatibility with a partner or a business partner based upon that person's numerology.
Right. And let me ask you a question. How, I mean, numerology is certainly one aspect. So, for example, let's say, like you're saying with a partner, let's say, oh, well, does our signs, are they compatible? Are our numbers, you know, and our birthday compatible? But beyond all that, you know, how some people say, well, I know we're compatible because our sign, but yet they're like, you know, total opposite. So I hear what you're saying, and it definitely is a nice tool to add to that, but for people listening, it's not everything. You got to really trust your intuition. I mean, the person could be compatible, but they could treat you like, you know, a piece of dirt. So where do you draw the line? How do you help people, you know, see that aspect of it as well? I don't even know if that's a
question.
Well,
when you look at somebody's numerology profile, you get a huge amount of insight into who they are, what their purpose is in life, what their strengths are, what their challenges or opportunities are, and, you know, it's a spectrum. So you can be in this lifetime performing at the better end of your numerology profile, just as you can be leveraging the strengths of your personality type or being restricted by the weaknesses of your personality type. So it's all, there's always a spectrum. So I agree. You know, I know people can get huge insight from their astrological charts. They can get huge insight from their numerology, also from their personality types. And there are other tools as well. But obviously, you have to use your judgment. I mean, you don't stay in a relationship because the numerology is good when in actual fact the experience is terrible. Right. So my guides always say, God gave us a brain, and he did that because he wants us to reflect for ourselves, and that is something that's very much guided me. And I always say to clients, you have to think for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like you contact a psychic, you contact a medium. They can channel insight from spirit, but you're always in control of your destiny. You're always in control of your life, and you can seek input and insight from many sources, but the buck stops with you.
Right, right. And you have that choice. You know, you can take what resonates and leave the rest. But it's so true. And I think sometimes we feel a lot of pressure. But I know for me, I share clearly what the angels and guides bring me, you know, to people that call in. And if that doesn't work for them, then, you know, that's okay. You know, as long as I'm always in my integrity. It's very important. So we really can't allow, you know, any kind of personal influence, because we're just, you know, hey, don't shoot the messenger, you know. We're just sharing the information that we receive. So, and it does come back to the choice.
And I know myself that I've received excellent insight from palmists, from mediums, from psychics, from numerology, astrology, all kinds of sources. But at the end of the day, how I choose to live my life and the extent to which I take on board that insight is my choice.
Right.
And the buck stops with me.
That's
so you
right.
could channel the best advice ever for me from the angels or from your guides, but it's down to me what I do with it and how I live my life. And
of
that's
course.
Why we're here. We have personal responsibility in life completely.
Absolutely. And the minute we hand that over, we're powerless. But that is our choice if we choose to hand it over. But knowing that regardless, we are always, always in control. And it's our matter of choice of what we do with that. You know, in every part of your life.
Absolutely.
But we need to, thank you, Steve. We need to jump in a quick 30-second commercial. So hang on, and we'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I want to give you that phone number. We will be taking callers, 724-444-4851. I'd like to ask Sharon one more question before we do that. Sharon, when a birth date has a zero in it, what does it mean?
Oh, I don't know. I've always been told that when it has a zero, I don't guess this isn't really an astrology question, eh? But when it has a zero in it, it means that there's a spiritual connection or something. So it's like the more zeros you have, you know, if someone has 10, 10, I don't know, and they're born 1910 or something, like they have a real strong spiritual connection. I guess zero meaning infinity or whatever, you know, all. So
like a completion. Like I heard number 9 was like encompassing all the numbers prior, and it's sort of a completion.
Oh yeah, like endings, kind of like 9. Yeah, yeah. But I know I just read that somewhere, and I thought that was kind of cool because it's kind of interesting. Plus, I have a 20 in mind, so it made it more exciting.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now you do numerology as well. Is that why you're curious about the zero or no?
Yeah. I just liked it. I thought it was nice. So that's why. But I do numerology, like based on your year, like what kind of year you're going to be in. So what you do is you take your month, your day, and the current year, and you add it all up, and you get a number. And that'll give you what your year is going to be about.
Right. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you, Sharon, for sharing that. Alrighty. Well, we're going to get to that part where everybody's so patiently waiting. And so, again, the number, 724-444-4851. We do have a caller from New York on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, listen, Steve Frampton is going to be taking your question this evening.
Sure. My question's regarded to my love life. I've been going through some ups and downs. My fiancé and I took a little break. I was just wondering, do you see us reconciling and working things out? Lately, he's been very distant towards me and giving mixed signals.
So I'll just can I take your name, please?
Christina.
Christina. Okay, let's have a look, Christina. Well, first thing that comes up with your partner is concern on his part about either about money, finances, or both.
Yes.
My guides are very clear that he's unsettled, unnerved, because he feels uncomfortable about, it does seem like both, he feels uncomfortable about his work, and it's as though he's just not passionate about his work, and he doesn't feel he's on the right track.
Oh, well, he's unemployed currently, and he's been looking for a job.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has that been for 5 weeks or 5 months? Because my guides keep on giving me the number 5 weeks
or 5 months since he's been unemployed?
Yes.
I think it's a bit longer.
It's been longer.
In the summertime, yeah.
Okay.
July,
okay.
Yes.
And in contrast, my guides are saying you're relatively satisfied by your career.
Well, I wouldn't say satisfied, but where I'm at, I'm comfortable. You know, pretty much comfortable. I would like to move on to something better, but right now I'm more comfortable, yes.
Okay, that's good. And, you know, I tell you, although he's unsettled about his work, that will sort itself out. I'm drawn to the month of August, which I know is not next week or next month even, but okay. he will find work in August. My guides are saying to you, just really try to uplift him, try to encourage him to do what he's passionate about rather than taking a position that he's not passionate about, because he wasn't overly passionate about his last role. And the more you can do to help him find the right opportunity, the more uplifted you will see him. Now, despite the fact that there's distance, the two of you are actually very compatible.
Okay.
He's not always very good at talking about his emotions. He's not a guy that talks about his feelings. He does shut down, and he's hard to get through to. It's hard to have him sit down and talk about how he feels.
Absolutely, yes.
So if you can help him with that, that would be really good. But I tell you, from what my guides are showing me, the two of you are actually very compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pulled a couple of tarot cards. I don't use tarot cards a lot, but I like to just pull some cards every now and then for confirmation. And I've got the Four of Wands, which is strong relationship, marriage, celebration, the Two of Cups, which is love, and the One of Pentacles, which in the deck I use is a beautiful pathway and beautiful journey and in a forest and a garden. So the outlook is good, but you need to help him overcome his issues, and he feels really down right now. His self-esteem is not good. And if you can help him with that, then it can work, because my guides say that you're a pretty good match.
Interesting. Thank you so much. I just hope that we work things out, because right now, you know, we've been going through some ups and downs, and, you know, so I'm glad that you see some positive in the future.
I do. Don't give up. Work okay. with the situation, because you okay. can turn this around, and you could turn this around in 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
I wish you lots of good luck and love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you, Christina, for calling. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that with her. It certainly can feel hopeless sometimes in the middle of a relationship separation temporarily. So we're going to go to our next caller from Ontario. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi. My name is Chandra. I'm calling because I've been through some tough times. I lost three of my loved ones, my mom, my sister, and my husband was killed in a car accident. I also lost my job. But I have a house on sale, and I was wondering, do you see any offers coming? I have a few open houses, and there were 2 or 3 people who are interested in it, and I was just wondering, do you see any offers coming anytime soon? Because I'm getting a bit worried financially now.
Okay. Maureen is going to assist you with your question, Sandra, okay?
And hi, Sandra. Correct, Sandra? Hi, Sandra. And
hi,
I'm sorry to hear about your loss as well. Your loss.
I know.
So I understand your question about you have your home for sale, and you'd like to know if it's going to be a good. Well, considering
the
market and everything.
Intuitively, I know it's going to sell, but it's just been on the market, and I've gone down on the price, and I was just wondering, do you see any offers coming? Because if the offers come, that means it's going to sell. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I had open houses, and there were a few people, at least 2 or 3 people were interested in it, but
right.
nobody has come back, put an offer on it, you know?
I understand. You're wondering if it's going to be this, you know, there could be leukemias and all that. You know,
I
see you celebrating pretty soon with this. It looks like there's women around you that would be celebrating, and it does look like there's going to be a completion. You look like you're so tired. You're so
I am.
Worn.
Yeah, I try to be positive, but, you know, sometimes it's difficult when you lose your loved ones.
I know. Take care of yourself. Go ahead and be how you need to be, in almost like a state of meditation, because you're going about having to deal with everything at the same time. You know, you're getting a lot of spiritual it's lonely to be spiritual sometimes, but I do feel, I see you celebrating very soon with women, friends, and this would be like a celebration because the house, unless it's something else you're going to be going out to having fun doing, I don't know, but do you have like women friends, like their girl pal, sisterly love friends?
I have wonderful brothers and sisters. I mean, excellent support from them, especially my eldest sister. So,
okay, so it would be those would be the people that would go out and celebrate for any type of thing that you would be able, like the house selling. I do feel very strongly that you know, this is interesting. What I feel is you're going to get. And you have a lot of intuition. You're going to feel it as well. You're going to get an offer. You psychically can feel this offer. This is what I want to tell you about this offer. Be very much in control of everything that's going on with this. It looks like because there could be some legal delay of some sort. So this person is coming from, it looks like a gentleman with with brown hair, and he's a workaholic, and he's not very, he looks like he's maybe in his 20s to 30s, maybe if he's older he looks young for his age, and I don't know if you had any, and he doesn't look like he's with a family, he looks like he's alone. Did you have anybody, do you know if anybody looked at it that was a single, a man that was a businessman, a single
And you see it happening pretty soon?
Yeah, well, yeah, it looks like it's going to be very soon. But what I guess I'm trying to say is be very much involved in this transaction going on. Legally speaking, it's just important because it could be delayed, that's all. But I do see, it looks like there's a gentleman, and he's dark hair, and it looks like he's not with a family. He's a businessman. He's on the go. He's just starting out. He's an entrepreneur or something, but he works really hard. He has the money to make this happen. And it looks like within the next month, 6 weeks, actually.
Now, I mean, as I said, I've been having so many open houses, and I'm just getting tired of, because this house is spotless clean, and there's nothing needs to be done. But I go crazy, and then when I come home and the real estate says, well, only one person showed up, I go, it really just brings me totally down. Do you still see me having any more open houses, or do you think my last open house was last Saturday, and that's it now? Because I'm just tired.
This is what I want to tell you. You know what I feel? This is what I was trying to say. You need to be more in control of how this is going. I suggest that you not only just do these open houses, but you also get some other people on board that are backing you, just not one realtor. Do you follow what I mean?
Yeah, I can't do that because I can only go with one. Once I list in Canada, if you list with one realtor, you cannot go with multiple realtors unless you're having a divorce and then two different parties decide to sell it. But it's on multi-listing. That means anybody can bring anybody at any time. Any real estate agent can bring anybody any time. You see what I mean?
Yes.
It's only one. I had to deal with one real estate agent only. And I had to get a real estate because I keep saying we live in country, and it's just for safety reason. I just want a real estate agent to do everything because, you know, I'm alone here, and, you know, that's the reason.
Can you change your realtor?
Well, I signed it already, and, you know, I'm tired of, because, you know, nobody wants to have an open house. And this guy was the only one who has, he's the one who always says, let's have an open house. So every 2 weeks I have an open house. Every 2 weeks I have an open house. And I know he does advertise, and it's just, the thing is, I'm tired of real estate agent, because before I put the house on sale, I think I interviewed about 5 or 6 different real estate agents. Nobody wanted to put an open house. And as I said, I'm just worn out. And just tired of everybody.
You know, I wanted to tell you another option, because I do feel this is going to happen quickly, but it also has a lot to do with word of mouth. And you also taking in control and talking about your home to people that you might be talking to.
Everybody, all my friends and everybody knows that this house is on sale. That they all know that. And, you know, as I say, and it's always every couple of weeks, as I say, open house. Even in the, we live in the village, and nobody would know that this house is on sale because it's a very small road. It's only a 7-kilometer road, and there are only about 10 houses. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, it's a beautiful, beautiful built in 1830 old stucco home, and it's high ceiling, but it's hard. It's only multi-listing, and that's all. And that's why I wanted to know, do you see something happening soon?
I do. Do you see something within 6 weeks? It looks like there's going to be a single gentleman who has dark hair, and he's an upcoming businessman. He's an entrepreneur. It looks like it's not a family. It's just him that's interested, and he has the money.
And you see, when do you see me, how sold?
Within 6 weeks, I feel that there's going to be some activity on this. And
and when do you see the office coming?
Well, I feel he's pretty much, he's always flying back and forth. This will be within 6 weeks. I feel very strong about this, but you need to be on top of this more than anything because you don't need it to be delayed. But he's looking for a place. He needs to have a base. That's what I'm looking at. Because he travels a lot, and this is perfect for him. And no, you know what?
Has he seen the house?
I don't think he has, but I think that he's someone else that knows somebody that knows you type of deal. That's just how I think he's coming into the picture. I don't feel he's coming from the house.
So I'll be sold in about 6 weeks' time, and I'll be out of this place in about 6 weeks' time, 6 to 8 weeks.
I see him really wanting to have get in there fast. The thing of it is, I think that you need to be really on top of it and making it go fast. And that whatever, I don't know, Canada is different. I don't know how it goes, but making sure, because he wants it fast. And he looks like he's going to put a lot of cash down on it. So you won't have to worry about any of that.
Because he has to go through the as far as I get my money, as far as I get to sold the house, and then I just need to move forward now. And it's just too much. It's just too painful here for me at the present time.
I also want to tell you again, please be aware. I'm just encouraging you to be more involved in, don't let everybody tell you, well, it's handled. Be more involved with the transaction of this house when it's ready. When someone makes an offer and you want to sell, be very involved in it. It's to your best interest for you to be having your nose in it. I know it sounds weird, but that's what I get. It's very important.
Okay, and do you still more than one offer or just one offer?
I don't know. Maybe there's more than one, but he looks like the one that's going to do it for you.
Oh, he's the one who. And do you see me going down on the price? I mean, because I'm going down almost from 330 to 260.
You think you need to be really involved and maybe try to deal with him directly. You would be able to deal with the future owner directly, the buyer.
Okay. So do you see me getting almost something that I'm asking at the present time?
You're going to be happy with what's going to go on, but just don't leave it all up to
all
you. Are able to interact with this guy. You know, be interactive with his situation. Okay, I hope I helped you, but I think everything, it won't be long now. I see you heading in a really good road. Okay?
Thank you so much.
And take care of yourself. I know
thank
it's hard
you
for you, but be nice
and
to yourself.
Thank you again, all of you. Bye-bye. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Maureen, for your patience. She's going through a tough time. But we're going to just move on. We have another caller from Ohio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name is Amber.
Amber. Okay, Amber, I'm going to pass you on to Sharon. She's going to take your reading this evening.
Hi, okay. Amber.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you?
Today's a good day, actually. Most days are bad days, but today's a good day. I don't know, maybe it's because the sun was shining, but
they're all good days.
I actually just have a general question. Things have just not been going very well for me lately. I just back in August, my job was eliminated, and then so I chose to go back to school. School's been a bit stressful between that with my kids, because I have two kids, and then the guy I was seeing, there's issues with him. As of right now, I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks. I guess I just kind of want to know, are things going to turn around soon, and I need something to change for the better here.
Yeah, okay. The first thing I'm feeling is that it's all getting you to where you have to go. All these things that are feeling like that they're letting you down are actually getting you, like the job, it was supposed to end because you were supposed to go to school, and this boyfriend thing, I'm not sure he was treating you the way you deserve to be treated. Like, were you a little bit disappointed in the relationship?
I'm just
feeling that there's, everything is getting you, I keep going to August, and I'm feeling that you are in a relationship in August, and I'm feeling that you're holding his hand, and you're smiling from ear to ear, and I'm not sure if it's him that is transformed into this person, or you meet someone completely new, but I'm feeling that this person accepts your children, loves your children, and just looks kind of like a family man, and is really there for you, and builds you up, and makes you realize all your gifts, you know? And I'm feeling that school, even though it's stressful, it's extra stressful because of everything that's going on. So if anything, he should be helping you through this, not giving you a hard time, you know? But I do go to August, and I feel like it's almost like everything comes together. It's like, I always picture like a wheel, and you have to get your spokes in a row, and then everything just kind of goes, you know? And that's what I'm feeling for you in August. So keep soldier on and keep your head up. But I do feel things switching. And it's really not that bad. It's just that it's all happening at once, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's been a stressful, the semester has been extremely stressful. So it's been a big debate, too, about whether to continue on with school or to
continue, because it's where you need to go. You know, just put your nose to the grindstone and there's a lot of metaphors in it, but just keep on it, because I think that's where you belong. It's going to be worth it. How many more, what do you have, like another year to go?
Yep, a year.
So just keep it going and it'll be worth it. Cause if you quit now, then you're always going to wonder what if, you know, and the spirit will help you. Just ask for help. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Amber. You take care of yourself. Good luck.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Amber. Thanks, Sharon, for sharing that message with her. Okay. We have a caller from New York on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hi. My name is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. I'm going to be taking your question this evening, so how can I help you?
Okay, well, I'm wondering whether Dan loves me and if we're going to have a future together.
Okay, is he somebody you're currently dating, Margaret?
No, but I feel like he's a soulmate. I can sort of feel this energy coming through my hands, and I think it's coming from him.
Okay. Okay, one of the first things I'm getting for you, Margaret, is... okay, I'm trying to think of how I want to put this to you. I do feel he's got an interest. You know, there is the choice of if it's something that's part of his journey. I do get the connection that the two of you did have a very, very powerful past life together. It's actually sort of like you're still going to work it out now, but I don't feel what they're showing me is that it's not going to work out as a couple, but you will have a connection together. I'm really not getting a very strong sense. They're not showing me this image of marriage, and that's something that would be presented to me. But not that it's not valuable, and this relationship is very important for your growth, for your spiritual growth, for you to learn how to be assertive. That's a very important thing for you, Margaret, is about really stepping into your power and finding your identity. I feel that there's a lot of focus you tend to put on the outside rather than understanding what's going on with the inside. So he's going to be part of that. Again, this is what the guides are showing me as terms of this relationship not necessarily going in the matrimonial realm, but it is going to be important
for him for like 3 years now because he's been married. I don't know if he's still married or not.
Okay, what was your question?
I don't know if he's still married or not because he was married when I knew him.
Okay, I don't see him as somebody who's single at this point in time.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to help you understand, Margaret, is that, you know, sometimes when we come with a question, a lot of it has to do with our growth. So personally, what I get from him is that he's not necessarily available. I also get a strong sense from my guides that this relationship is important to you, but not in such a way that you're perceiving it to be. It'll be shown to you. These sort of things will come into your awareness when you're ready. I feel right now you really want something with this fella, and I really feel that. I really feel what you're feeling. But I just want to help you understand that he is important in your spiritual growth. I'm not getting the image of it taking form of long-term commitment. But it's coming back to the past life where you did share a past life together, and that's why this connection is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say it's right or wrong, Margaret, by any means.
I mean, are we going to have a connection like an affair or like what?
No, by you being very connected to him, on a soul level, what's going to happen is you're going to start to learn about yourself, your gifts. I feel like a new career is going to be shown to you if it hasn't already. It's about your soul's evolution. So in other words, his presence, by you tapping into who he is as a person, by even thinking about him, that energy of your thought, by putting it onto him. So you're going to start to get a lot of different feelings and confusion, but what that confusion really is deep down is for you to understand that, okay, why am I feeling this way? So rather than projecting it onto him, he's your mirror. He's showing you a part of yourself that your soul is asking you to take a look at. And I know it's not like a clear-cut answer, but he is serving a purpose in your life. Even if he's not physically there, even the idea that he's consuming your energy quite a lot is huge. And the question is, what does all that mean? And I know you were asking, like, hey, is this guy my soulmate, or are we going to have a life together? That's not necessarily the case. Sometimes we have a lot of connections with people. Doesn't mean we're going to end up with them. But there is a reason he's in your awareness or in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but does he love me? I mean...
Again, I'm trying to explain this as clearly as I can, Margaret, and if I talk in circles, I apologize. But right now, I don't see him in love with you. You know, he's just in a different place right now. The connection you feel is more for you internally. And that's what he's representing. That's what the guides are showing to me.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Okay. Let me see if we have somebody online. So, sorry about that, guys. Sometimes, you know, and that's why I was saying in the beginning of the call, I really make sure that I ask the angels to help me. Sometimes it's hard to communicate something in a way where somebody's really feeling something strongly, and then it's just what I'm not getting. It's certainly challenging. It's certainly challenging. So, how about you guys? Do you have any challenging readings? Oh, let me announce the number. Never mind. Well, you can jump in if you want to talk. Let's see. We could get some more callers, guys, if you want to call in for a free reading. 724-444-4851. The lines are open. Okay, we have a caller from New Jersey. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I'm going to pass you to Steve to do your reading this evening.
Hi. Hey, Steve. This is Deborah, Francine's friend.
Hey, Deborah. How are you doing?
I'm okay, hon. I just started the new job that you said I was going to get, Steve. It was awesome. I'm excited.
But well, that's wonderful. Well done, Deborah. I'm so excited for you because it's a great opportunity, and I'm so happy that that happened for you because you've worked hard to secure that role. So well done.
Yeah, I did. But the thing is, the two contract workers on a job lose their job tomorrow. So now the job is down to a skeleton crew, and I'm still training. Then I thought I had an apartment, and you told me I wasn't going to have an apartment for a while I'm living with my aunt, and my aunt has lupus, and she's not feeling well, and I had to drive an hour and 45 minutes to work, and here I go again. And I was hoping Francine was going to be my roommate when I move in July, because I need financial, I need the help, and I'm hoping she will come to her senses by then and say, you know what, I'm homeless, I need an apartment, could you help me? Because I want that platonic relationship again. So right now, I'm happy because I'm with around people, but the job is like, my gosh, there's nobody there. The crew is turned to skeleton. I'm homeless, yet I'm with a loving aunt. and I still want my best friend back. It's like everything is great. I'm excited. I don't get paid that much, but guess what? I got a job. So talk to me, Steve.
Well, I'm glad you got the role, Deborah. My guides are saying to you, don't worry too much about the work situation. This is a good opportunity, but it's a good opportunity for now. And mm-hmm. you'll see in 5-6 months, so later on this year, you'll be accepting a different opportunity. Because whilst this role does serve you now, it's not what you really want in the longer term. That's the first thing my guides are saying.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Deborah.
Right. I shut up.
Sorry, you don't need to, Deborah. I just didn't hear what you said.
I said you're correct. I was going after a better job, which is upstairs from my job.
Okay. Well, that will work out. So, this is a step in the right direction. Exactly. This will work out for you. And you'll be well thought of in this organization, and this will work. Now, my guides are saying they're glad that you took the advice not to get an apartment straight away, because it would have been a mistake. It wouldn't have worked out. If you'd taken a place right now, it wouldn't have worked out. And although your aunt is not doing well, it is right that you're with her, because you're able to help her, and also it means that you don't have to worry about finding accommodation straight away. So my guides are saying to you, Deborah, be balanced with this. I know you've got a long drive. I mean, 1.75 hours is a long drive. It's going to take 2 to 3 months before you move. So where would that put us? We're at the beginning of April, May, June, okay, July. So you're talking end of June, beginning of July, you will take an apartment nearer to work. And I'm going to ask about your friend Francine for you, because you've moved to an area that she is living. She's living in the same area as you, or nearby.
Exactly. Yeah?
Okay.
But I was told that she moved to New York, but I think she's really in the area.
Yeah, I do feel that she is in the area, based upon what my guides are telling me. There's a lot of change around her at the moment. Things are falling away from her at the moment. And to be honest, my guide said that's good, because she has a habit of... you're the exception, but she has a habit of hanging around with the wrong people. She goes in the wrong direction and gets into friendships that really aren't constructive for her, and it's a pattern that goes right back for her. If you were to ask her family, they would say to you, oh yeah, she tends to choose the wrong friends. You're the big exception to that. Does that make sense to you, Deborah?
It makes 100% sense to me. She's like a knucklehead.
Now, why am I drawn to the month of August, Deborah? Is the month of August highly significant to you or to your friend Francine? Because my guides keep on saying August.
August, I can't connect with August. I know her birthday is in June, and my birthday is Sunday.
Happy birthday for Sunday. Well, my guides are disagreeing with you. They're insisting on August. You have a grandmother that was born or passed in August. Not necessarily last August, but in the month of August.
My father got killed in August, Steve. 1978,
okay.
August the 9th.
Okay. Well, you see, my guides are saying August. They're insisting on it. They're saying it's an important date, birthday or passing. So you're saying your father passed then. Well, let's work with him a little.
He got killed in 1978 in August. In my household, yeah. That's kind of a serious month.
And you were close to your father.
I was a daddy's girl. Yes, I was.
Yeah. Because I can feel him drawing close, and I can sense from his energy towards you that you were close. That he really thought the world of you, and my back feels tight. So I'm inclined to say he had troubles with his back at some point.
His legs got cut off, and the car ran into him and cut him in half.
Okay. Okay. Well, Deborah, I can feel this issue with the back, because he's giving me this tightness and this pain in my back. But he's saying to you, did he call you girl?
I don't remember too well.
Because he's saying, tell my girl that my back is fine, that my back is fine. And he's a very active man, you know, in the spirit world, he's extremely active. He doesn't, he finds it hard to sit still. And he's saying to you, although he's showing me this pain in my back, and he's drawing me to the back as a significant area for him when he was in his physical form and in life like as we are now, he's saying, tell my girl that my back is fine, my back is fine.
Okay.
He wants you to know that his back is intact, that his back is just fine, and he's healthy. Okay?
Okay. So, Francine, will she be back in my life? Or will she be my roommate? Would I be able to share an apartment with her? I'm always talking about Francine. I'm trying not to anymore. I'm going with my life.
Well, my guides are saying, as long as you are patient, and as long as you give the situation time, then yes, you will be friends again. She will realize that she lost a wonderful friend in you, and she's realizing because of the friendships that are falling away, and also because of her mother's on her case big time about the company she keeps.
Her mother's on her case all the time.
Sorry?
What happened is Joanna was supposed to appear in court yesterday, and she didn't show up again. And I called her grandma, and I said, you know, Francine is accessory to this. And I made up a story, but Francine told her grandmother that she didn't move, but she did move. And she confessed to her grandma that she moved. Francine does really stupid stuff, but I'm drawn to her because she's my best friend, and I understand her. But she's like a queen of knuckleheads. She do stupid stuff. But I love her because she's my best friend, and I admit that we were lovers at one time. But if anything, we're best friends. I want her back in my life.
She's being quite disrespectful to you at times, Deborah. She's been very difficult with you at times, and my guides are saying she's really pushed, despite how much you care for her, she's been very difficult with you. She's really pushed you away last year. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. She's been nasty to me. Nancy.
Yeah, and she has to grow up. She has to realize the value of friendship. She has to realize that many of the people she's been mixing with recently are not a good influence for her, and they get her into trouble. And it's good because she will realize that there are wonderful people like you out there, and she will return. And again, the month of July comes up. So, based upon what my guides are saying, the July is a turning point. But your father's saying to you, Deborah, that you're a really good girl. But he's saying, sometimes you can be a little bit naive. Sometimes you give, and get taken for granted. And he's saying to you, with Francine, you have to let her prove herself to you. You mustn't just, you know, accept anything or welcome her back with open arms no matter what. You need to give her the opportunity to prove to you that she's going to be a great friend to you and that she's going to support you. Your father also mentions the names George and Arthur, and my guides are giving me a sign that says you definitely have the name George and Arthur in the family tree, but it's further up above your father.
I don't know.
Check the family tree, Deborah, because he's very clear. He's saying George, Arthur. They're either great grandparents or great uncles. but he talks of them. If you think of those names, you look at the family tree, it will make sense. But he's very much with you, and he's just reiterating, let people prove themselves to you, Deborah. Let people prove that they deserve your warm heart, your love, and your friendship. But definitely July is a very exciting and significant time for you, and I wish you lots of love and so much luck in this new job. And you've made good decisions.
Did she get my letter, Steve, that I sent to her? But I sent it to New York.
Yes, absolutely.
So she's in New Jersey. So that means she's... What was her response to that?
She feels encouraged by your letter. She feels strengthened by it because she doesn't feel great right now about what's going on in her life. So... You've had a good impact there, and she is thinking about you. But as your father's saying, you need to let her prove herself. Okay.
Okay.
I want to wish you lots of luck, Deborah. You're wonderful. So move forward and enjoy that job, and go with the opportunity that comes in a few months, because it'll be really good for you. I wish you lots of luck.
Thank you, Steve. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Take care.
Good night, Deborah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve, for sharing that very heartfelt message. So that was wonderful. And that brings us to, time flies when you're having fun, to another, yet end of another outstanding show. And I want to thank all my co-hosts here, Sharon, Steve, and Maureen. And, of course, Doug, the executive producer, for keeping us online and taking care of business, and very vital part of making the show the success that it is. Next week's show, I have the privilege again of being on, so I thank my co-hosts for allowing me to do the show next week. We have two amazing guests. We have Charles Virtue. He's the eldest son of Dr. Doreen Virtue, and he'll be accompanied by Tina Marie Daly. Charles and Tina will be discussing angels and the many ways in which, they help us throughout our life, and how they want to be a part of our world and our life, because that is their mission. They're the messengers, God's messengers, to help us. So they're going to share a little bit about their journey, what they're doing, and how to help us open those lines of communication to the angels and receive their divine messages. So really excited to have Charles and Tina on next week. So anyway, that wraps up the show this evening. I want to thank everybody once again, and to have a great night, and we'll see you next week. So good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, Jackie. Great show.
Everyone. Sorry.